is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Monday means EJ Raddick from the NHL Network. Monday through Friday, NHL Now, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Donnie? How you doing? We're winding down.
Yep. We're winding down, and things are becoming a little bit clearer for some. For others, it's still very much up in the air. Tough point for Montreal to lose last night, right? I mean, they had to control of the game, 1-0, but you just had this feeling that they couldn't get that insurance goal and that it was a matter of time. But Price was playing so well, you thought maybe he'd pitch the shutout. And then once you get to overtime, you know, anything can happen there. But is that a point that you think is going to end up at the end of the day costing Montreal?
I guess we'll find out, right? I mean, yeah. I think that all points you lose at this time of year are tough. So I think the good news for Montreal is they played well of late, and they went into a place that's really hard. I mean, Carolina's been hard to play there this year for a number of reasons, and the Canes have been playing well. And, you know, they probably leaned on Carey Price a little too hard in that game, but at the end of the day, they did get the 1 point, and maybe that's the difference between them getting into the playoffs and not getting in. So I look at it from an optimistic standpoint. You're on the road. You're in a place where the team is pretty good. You know, you ended up getting 1 point. I mean, I think the point they'll regret if they miss is giving up a goal to the Islanders with like 2.5, 3 minutes left at the Nassau Coliseum when they were in a similar situation on the road, gave up a goal late. They took a chance late in that period, led to a 2-on-1 for the Islanders, and they scored. That's a point they didn't get anything in that game. So
yeah,
if they missed by one, I would look at that game more than I would look at
probably
last night.
And we've talked about this a little bit before. I love the storm surge to the point where I'm kind of rooting for the Hurricanes to win that game in overtime just so I could see what they were going to do, right? And they did the fishing in the dark thing, and it was fun. We might have discussed this before. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're making it. I think they're in the playoffs. I don't know if you can do it game to game in the postseason. I think if you win a series at home, I think you're kind of cool to do it. I don't think you can do it game to game in the playoffs because it's the same team you're playing the 2 nights later. What if you're down three games to none? You're going to do it in game four that you stayed alive? I think it would look foolish. Yeah. So how do you think they will do it? Will they do it series to series, or will they continue with every win at home in the postseason?
Well, I would love to tell you I have a clue, but I don't have any historical background.
No, that's what's so unique about it.
Right? So I think that I'll say this. I think Justin Williams is kind of the leader of the band here, so to speak. And I think Justin Williams will act accordingly, you know, in terms of, I think maybe your idea of, you know, if you clinch a series and you win at home, I don't know if it's something you do game to game, but who knows? Like I said, we're in uncharted territory when it comes to stuff like this. And I, quite frankly, if they do it in the playoffs after games, it doesn't bother me in the least. They can do whatever they want. It's the people pay their money to come in there, and it's the home crowd, and you know what? If they want to, you know, all it is in the playoffs, though, as you know, is it's food for, you know, it's fodder for the other team. You know, it's like, hey, we don't want them, you know, we want to ruin their party, so to speak. And you don't want to give the other team any kind of ammunition in the postseason. So, but listen, they've had success all year with it. They enjoy it. The fans like it. So whatever they do is going to be fine with me. And I guess those who didn't like it before will like it even less in the playoffs. But, you know, more importantly, they got a home and home with Washington coming up. And that's a potential first-round opponent for them. Then they got a back-to-back with Philly and Pittsburgh. They're at Toronto. They're home for the Devils, and they're at Philly. So, you know, if they can get through these games against the Capitals, and we'll see where they're at, I think after that, with the exception of, you know, they have Pittsburgh and Toronto on the road, which are tough games. But, I mean, the rest of the games are, you know, games they should get points. So I think that's the focus for them right now, is just try to get through the remaining 7 games and get that spot locked up, and then they'll worry about the postseason when it comes. But I'm with you. I think they're going to get there.
And it's becoming, I think, clearer in the West, right? Because Philadelphia is, I think, done. So really it's just a matter of whether Montreal, Columbus, Carolina, probably Montreal, Columbus, really the only race there. Chicago needed to win that game in regulation against Colorado. They did get a point, but at this late stage, 5 points back, they do have a game in hand on Colorado, so they're not completely done, but they really need to win that game in regulation and didn't. Arizona came out east, and I think the Devils and the Islanders really killed them. They're only 2 points back, but just the way they're playing, right? 4-4-2 in their last 10. Minnesota's 2 points back, but they only have 3 wins in their last 10. Chicago, Arizona, Minnesota, who do you give the best shot to here?
Well, I mean, Arizona's still in a position. They're home against the Blackhawks tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
If they can win that game outright, they've got 81 points. Then they go and they go to Colorado to play there. If they win again, right, that's great for them. Then they come home and who they play, Minnesota. So Colorado, I mean, Arizona to me has the destiny in their own hands.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. Because they play Chicago, who's behind them. They could finish them off. They go to Colorado and Minnesota, who are currently technically both ahead of them. Certainly Colorado is ahead by points. Minnesota's ahead by tiebreak. So, you know, they have it. They're in a position if they can get those games. Then they look at their last 3 games of the season after that. They play home for the Kings, a winnable game. They're in Vegas, but Vegas will be playing for virtually nothing at that point. And then they're home for Winnipeg. And again, Winnipeg will be playing out the string at that point in time. So for me, you know, Arizona's still very much in this thing, but they have because of their opponent, but they've got to win those games. And, you know, as for the Avs, I give them a lot of credit, but the reality is there, Philip Grubauer's really, I mean, this is the great news for them. Philip Grubauer is really carrying them right now. He's been terrific in the last 3 or 4 games. So if he continues to play well, maybe the Avalanche are just going to sneak into that last spot.
Looks like Winnipeg's got the Central. They've got a game in hand and a 4-point lead on Nashville. And Nashville's kind of been, I don't know, I'm not sure how to describe them really, right? I mean, they're not bad. They haven't been great.
Yeah.
And you can't just
5-4-1 the last 10. 5-4-1.
And you can't say, like, listen, Vegas is locked in. Toronto locked in. Like, there's certain teams that can't move up. They can't move down. So you kind of understand they're being a little bit lethargic. The Jets opened the door, I thought, over the last couple of weeks to be beaten in that division, and Nashville just couldn't do it. So you can't say they had nothing to play for. So are you concerned at all about what the Predators are right now? I mean, they've been there. They've done that. But I mean, I just don't feel great about them going into the last couple of weeks of the season.
I'm very concerned with them. I mean, I think that they're very – I think both Winnipeg and Nashville are more vulnerable than when they were last year, and Nashville in particular. And Nashville's looking down the barrel of a first-round series with the Blues, and the Blues have beaten Nashville 4 out of 5 this year, and they beat them 3 times last month in very short order.
Yeah.
So St. Louis has got to be feeling terrific about that matchup. And also, let's not forget, St. Louis could end up as the 2. The Blues are a point back, and they have a game in hand. So, and they have, right now, they have one more regulation overtime win. So if it's a tie, based on the current standings, they would advance to the second spot. So, you know, the Blues schedule, neither schedule is awfully hard, but, you know, the Blues come east and will play at the Garden and play at the Devils, and then they've got a game with Colorado will be a tough one. Then they're home for Philadelphia and home for Vancouver. So, you know, we will see, but, you know, Nashville, I'd be concerned if I was a Preds fan.
Yeah, I think you have to be. And you're right, St. Louis could actually steal home ice advantage away.
That's right.
How about San Jose? I know they don't have Carlson, so maybe so they're not complete at all. But no wins in their last 5. I mean, so Calgary is running away now with that Pacific Division when it looked like San Jose was in really good position to maybe overtake it just a couple of weeks ago. So where do you stand? Hey, Carlson's coming back. They're okay? Or is there any concerns around them?
Well, I haven't liked what I've seen in the last few games. It's funny with San Jose because that's how they've been a lot this year. There's stretches where I really like them. I mean, they went up, if you remember, not too long ago, went back-to-back days in Winnipeg and in Calgary and won.
Yeah.
And they had a terrific road trip, and then they came back home, and then it was lose to Florida, lose to Nashville, lose to Vegas, and, you know, it's lose. Then they went to L.A. and lost, and then I believe they lost in Anaheim in overtime or shootout the other night. So, yes, Carlson is coming back, and I guess that will help them. And, you know, they've got 5 out of their last 7 at home. They don't have to do a lot of traveling, really, so that's the good news. They got one swing to Vancouver and Edmonton. But, I mean, for me, it just comes down to this. Marty Jones is going to have to be better. They're going to have to be a little bit better in front of them. And if, you know, the only thing that gives me confidence about Marty Jones is that he has taken this team to a cup final only a couple of years ago. But this entire season, Don, he's just not, he's had stretches where he's gotten better. But, there's never been a point where I would say, boy, Marty Jones is really locked in right now. So maybe that'll happen in the postseason for him. He's had we saw last year with Braden Holtby, he had some struggles, and then after not starting in the playoffs, he came in and saved the day. I don't think there's another option, really, for San Jose. I don't think Aaron Dell is really an option. So that's a big concern, is that his save percentage has been under 900 all year long on a very good team. So we'll see when Carlson comes back, and Pavelski hopefully will be completely healthy. And if Marty Jones is playing well, I mean, they got a chance to roll through and win the West. But like I've said to you on a couple of occasions now over the last few weeks, is that Western Conference is wide open.
I know.
Really anybody's going to take
it. It is crazy, because I was just thinking about like the things that you've said over the last couple of minutes. All right. Winnipeg and Nashville, not the same as they were last year. So there are holes there. Those were looked upon as the two best teams going into the season.
Yeah.
And for a large portion of the season, look like they're the best. I keep circling back to Calgary as being the best team in the Western Conference. But you know what? There sits Vegas, right? I mean, they did it last year. You get back a healthy Fleury. I'm not sure they're as good as they were last year. Certainly Carlson is not having the same season as he did last year. But I just wonder, are we going to just circle back to them maybe making another run again? I mean, it's open for that to happen. It just happened last year, and you might make the case that it'd probably be a little bit easier this year because, they're in their second year. They've got all those guys gained the experience of that run. So I guess Vegas has to be in the conversation.
Yeah, they're in the conversation for sure, and they're playing great. And the fact that they have Marc-Andre Fleury, if he comes back healthy, which we assume he's going to, that gives them an edge when you look at that conference. I mean, look around. I mean, Calgary has got an inexperienced guy who's never played a playoff game in Riddick, and they've got Mike Smith, who's an older player that struggled all year long. San Jose, I already mentioned their situation. In Winnipeg, Hellebuck had a nice night the other night, but he hasn't been nearly as good as he was last year. Pekka Rinne is another experienced guy, but, it's been some ups and downs for him. St. Louis, Binnington is brand new to this whole thing, and you got Jake Allen, who hasn't really shown any kind of success in the postseason. Dallas has Bishop, so I mean, here's a good one. Grubauer's kind of locked in lately for Colorado. Dubnyk, if they get in, he's been pretty reliable. Kemper's been really good for Arizona, but Fleury is a guy that's got all the he's got the resume. I mean, he's got the skins on the wall, so to speak, from the past. So I would say that Vegas is as when all is said and done, as we wrap things up at the end of the regular season, maybe they're the team to really watch and focus on in the Western Conference. But that said, their road will be a little tougher this year, just because last year they got to open against L.A., and L.A. just was totally outmatched speed-wise. And if it wasn't for Jonathan Quick, I mean, they got swept, and that's about the way that series was. I mean, the fact that Jonathan Quick was able to keep L.A.
Yeah, they were all one-goal games, weren't they?
Yeah, yes, but the key was that, the LA Kings were not really they weren't pushing the pace offensively in those games. And so, that this year playing San Jose in the first round, unless San Jose completely stumbles, I mean, that will be a much harder first round match for the Vegas Golden Knights, at least on paper. So we will see how that plays out. But like I say, the West is going to be really interesting, but, Vegas right now is playing the best of all those teams, and they're going to get their best player, which is a goaltender, back. So you got to like their chances to be a factor for sure.
You ready for some tweets?
Let's go.
All right, John Michael tweets. What are your thoughts on Larry Brooks' article on the draft? I think it's a great idea to give all non-playoff teams the same odds for pick, prevents tanking, and avoids fans' mixed feelings about late-season wins. Why continue to reward failure?
Well, I think what they've done is, I think they've done a nice job with lowering the odds. So, I mean, right now, if you finish dead last, your chances of winning that first pick are only 18%. So they're not great. I don't know if I like the idea of making it even for everyone, because, there are teams that are really struggling and are bad. And we can go back and forth about these wins or this or that or the other thing. I don't know if there's ever a perfect circumstance. But, I think the league has done
Yeah.
By making the lottery what it is, I mean, you're not guaranteed. You have a 1 in 5 chance to win that first pick, a little bit less than 1 in 5, or, you know, more than 1 in 5, depending on how you look at the odds. But your chances at 18% are not a lock to get it. And you just see the Devils from a couple of years ago, right? They were, I think they moved up, you know, several spots to get the number one pick. So I think the way they're doing it now is probably pretty fair and doesn't automatically give you that first overall pick. I mean, some of the other stuff I've liked is when I'm hearing about you can't have more than, you know, X amount of first round picks over a certain amount of years, I think is interesting because, you know, organizations that can't figure it out, like the Edmonton Oilers, I mean, you know.
Yeah, they shouldn't be rewarded for that, yeah.
They shouldn't be rewarded with multiple year where they, you know, they pick first 4 or 5 times in a short span. So stuff like that I might be more open to. But I think the way they've done it now, I think, creates enough opportunity for other teams to win that lottery.
And honestly, I really don't see tanking be a problem in the NHL. I don't. I mean, we watch all the games. I saw the Ottawa Senators go into Toronto last week and beat the Leafs. I saw Ottawa play, you know, basically knock Edmonton out of the playoffs on Saturday with a huge win. We saw the Devils beat the Coyotes and hurt their chances of making the playoffs. I mean, I really haven't seen. Now, some of these teams are bad. Some teams are just flat out bad. But and there have been injuries and there's been some decisions. Yeah. You're going to play a lot of younger kids. But EJ, you watch as much as I do. I mean, I don't see teams just mailing it in. I see a lot of young. I look at the Rangers, right? A lot of their fans want to see them lose games, but they go into Toronto, they play a great game, they win, they pour off the bench like it's game 7 because they hadn't won in 5 and it hurts to lose. And yeah, so in the NBA, you see it. You see that there's the process that the Sixers went through over these years, but I really don't see it being an issue in the NHL.
No, I haven't. I mean, the Ottawa Senators who are the proverbial dumpster fire, the way things have gone this year, right? They're 4-5-1 in their last 10 games. The LA Kings, it's been a terrible year. They're 4-6 in their last 10, and they've won 2 in a row. I mean, so at the end of the day, the players, I always say that the players in the room, the coaches in the room, the manager people, they want to win. I mean, that they're competitive people by nature. They want to win. And so, I don't see it as a huge problem right now, but we'll see. I mean, like I said, I think the fact that, you know, it used to be, right, if you finished last, you had like a really high percentage of getting that pick. Now it's only, as I said, 18%, so it's a little bit different now. I think they've leveled it out a little bit more.
Okay. Phoenix Jet says NHL highlight packages don't show Kane's post-game sellies. Why not when it's something many look forward to? It's all over social media, though, and I know their own social media tweets it out. I don't know why the NHL doesn't have it on their website, but you can't spin that the NHL doesn't think this is a good idea.
No, I think that the NHL, they do the game highlights, and I think that's what they are. They're the game highlights, and I think the fact that they do this, and it's readily available. I mean, unless you're living in a cave, I mean, it's tweeted out by everybody afterwards. It's very readily available.
Well, I guess Phoenix Jet is trying to say is the NHL in some way against it, but you're there. Do you see that the NHL doesn't like this?
I mean, if the NHL didn't like it, they would not retweet the celebration or tweet out the video of it on their Twitter account, which they do with regularity, and they are very much aware of it. So, and I just think that they probably look at whoever's responsible for cutting those highlights. They probably look at it, their game highlights, and that's what they're focused on.
Yeah,
and what they give you in those highlights for everybody. And you know what? Other stuff that happens after the game is readily available for people to access in other ways.
Mario wants to know who is the front runner for the Vezina.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, I mean, Vasilevsky's got to be thought of as being on the list.
Yes.
Ben Bishop has played very well this year. I mean, it's an interesting time with goaltenders in this league because we're not seeing the 65 to 70 games from a lot of guys. It's much different than it has been in the past. I mean, you look at Leonard and Greiss, for example. I mean, those guys have pretty much split it down the middle this year with the games they've played. Mm-hmm. And those guys have been terrific. Tuukka Rask has had a terrific year, but, you know, Jaro Halak has played nearly as many games as him. And Bishop has had some injuries. But Anton Khudobin has played in 36 games. I mean, Pekka Rinne's had a good year. He's up over 50. Marc-Andre Fleury was up near 60, but now he's been out of the lineup, so that's kind of pushed him back down a little bit. Devin Dubnyk is up there like 63 games right now. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see where the general managers land on this. They vote on the Vezina Trophy. But, you know, Bishop, I think, you know, his save percentage is at 932. I mean, that's awfully high. You know, some, there's been some other guys, all the other guys I mentioned. Vasilevskiy's at 928, and he's had a great year. So I could see him being nominated again. And maybe it's his turn to win. We'll see. But there's a number of good goaltenders that have played this year. And, yeah, like I said, the interesting thing is it's different now because the guys are not playing quite as many. The split isn't quite as dramatic in most cases. There are some places that there are, but there are many places that they are that it's evening out more. And I think you're seeing this, it's kind of the sign of things to come, so to speak.
Can you win the Vezina and not make the playoffs? Because I would think Carey Price has the numbers.
So. Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, again, time will tell. But I think, you know, it's hard to, you know, if you miss the playoffs, do you have the requisite number of wins to get to, you know, the other guys are going to have substantially more wins.
Yeah,
I mean,
Price is
got good numbers. He's a 917 save percentage. And, you know, Carey Price is going to get the validation from the Canadian media. I mean, like, he played very well last night, but, like, anytime Carey Price plays very well, it's, you know, he gets more attention, I think, than the average guy just because of...
I know, we've talked about that,
sure. He's a goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, and listen, and Carey Price has been a great goalie for a long while in this league now, so I'm not trying to take anything away from Carey Price. But, you know, for example, the year that he won all the hardware, I mean, his numbers were on par with Devin Dubnyk. I mean, that year. Like, Devin Dubnyk didn't get any push for those awards, and he had similar numbers to Carey Price in that season. So, as far as this year goes, I mean, it could be Vasilevskiy because the Lightning have been so high value and, you know, he's got numbers to prove it and, you know, he'll have a few more starts. But, you know, I think the thing that voters, you know, it'll be interesting to see this year and moving forward how much weight they put on the fact that a guy plays a lot of games or let's say he plays 10 more games than someone else. I mean, Bishop right now has played in 43 games, so he might end up finishing playing in, what, 47, 48. Somewhere in that area. I mean, do you give more weight to Price, who's going to finish at around 65 or 66 games? You know, where do you stand on a guy like Darcy Kuemper, who's had a terrific year?
Yeah.
You know, he's at 50 games now. So there's a lot. Because guys are playing fewer games, you know, in their season and there's more split, it does make it interesting. I mean, Leonard and Greif, I mean, they're almost dead even. I mean, I don't even know how you give it to one over the other. So, but both are very deserving for the kind of seasons they have. And the Islanders have combined as a team for 10 shutouts this year. I mean, that's the most of any team in the National Hockey League. So, it'll be an interesting year for the general managers when they vote on this award.
Yeah, I would think Vasilevskiy probably would get it. He's going to most likely have wins. Fleury's one behind him and is hurt right now. So there'll be three candidates, but I think at the end of the day, Vasilevskiy will probably win. You look at the awards, right? I mean, they'll probably have the Vezina. Kucherov should win the Hart.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of hardware thrown at the Lightning, and really the only one they care about is the Cup.
That's right.
You know, that's all that anybody really cares about.
That's all that anybody. I always say that when I talk about why I don't really vote anymore, because this game is the ultimate team game, and you need everybody pulling the rope. And it's nice for us to talk about and argue about awards, and there's a historic value in that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the Lightning would be very happy if they were to win the Cup that, you know, they could give the individual awards. I mean, as I have said to you many times, I've never heard anybody who lost the Stanley, you know, won the Stanley Cup sitting there going, boy, I just wish I would have won the Vezina.
No, but the, you know? But the reverse has happened many times. So
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
Tim Hills.
By the way, I'll be interested to see who wins the Vezina or the Norris because Mark Giordano is having just an off-the-wall year for the Calgary Flames. It's been terrific. But, you know, Victor Hedman and Ryan McDonough have been great for the Lightning, and there's a number of guys who've had good seasons. So that'll be another award that'll be interesting to see. But if I were voting and the Writers Association votes on this one, I would vote for Giordano.
Tim wants to know, the Panthers have some genuine high-end talent on their roster, but they have disappointed this year. What are the key missing pieces for them to become a regular playoff team?
I think it's, well, I mean, this year they had the goaltending thing is a real problem for them because they have Roberto Luongo, who when he's healthy is been, you know, okay, but I mean, his save percentage is down under .900 now, and I think it's just because it's harder for him to be healthy and to be consistent at this point of his career. So they've got to figure something else out. They've brought in the kid, Montembeau, who's played, and he's been pretty good for them. I mean, he's got some wins for them, but they've got to figure out the goaltending situation there first and foremost. Then the other thing I would say is, you know, the culture there in Florida, they've got to create a culture of success and of winning, and they just have not had that there, despite the fact that when you look at their roster, I mean, Barkov is a top,
yeah,
top 15 player in the league. I mean, he is a horse, you know, and Huberdeau has had a good year. He's up over 80 points. Hoffman is a sniper that can score from distance. Dadonoff is a fun player to watch. That's a talented offensive player. You know, Trocheck missed a lot of time this year, but he's a really good player for them. Matheson and Ekblad are good defensemen. I mean, they've got the makings of a team that should have some success, but I think the goaltending kind of undermined them this year. And then just, again, the culture there, find ways to win. And that is not something that is easy to establish, particularly in a place like South Florida where it's just there are a lot of other distractions in terms of nice weather and, you know, winning. You get into that attitude, winning is great and losing is okay. You never want losing to be okay. Mm-hmm.
No question about it. And, of course, because of where they're located, you get nights like Saturday where it was a de facto Bruins home game, right? Because, those Bruin fans march, you know. So it's tough. It's tough for them to build some traction. We both are very close with Steve Goldstein, of course, their television play-by-play voice. And when I see him, he feels like it's starting to edge closer to a little bit more consistency. But unless you're winning games on the ice, and you know, I haven't been out of the first round since when? 96, when they made the run. I mean, that's a long, long time. We see it in Carolina, right? Carolina goes a decade without going to the playoffs, and they're talking about moving and all that. And now all of a sudden they become a team that everybody wants to talk about, and they're having fun because they're winning.
That's right. You have to win. You have to make the playoffs. I mean, you used to talk about that. I remember years ago when we did the radio show about teams having, having a deep run. It makes a difference. And you have to have some sustained success. You have to be able, even if you don't make the playoffs every year, you have to make it, you know, certainly every other year if you can, especially in places where, you know, really, I think everywhere now. Because, you know, it used to be like, well, these non-traditionals. But let's face it, ticket prices are expensive. And if people don't see success, I mean, they'll find other ways to spend their money.
That's true.
You know, I think you have to do that. And in Florida, it's been a really long run there of struggles. And, you know, they've got to, like I said, they got to figure out the goaltending issue for sure. But, the start of the year, Donnie, I mean, look at it. They knew last year they started poorly. They finished strong. They missed by 1 point, right?
Right.
So you would think there'd be such an emphasis on starting strong this year. And I'm sure there was, but they could not execute that plan, and they started poorly again, and they got behind the eight ball. And so now they're in a situation where they're on the outside looking in again. So, again, I go back to the culture and finding ways to win even when things aren't going your way. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to do that.
Chris says, hi, guys. There's reports that Joel Farabee might leave BU and sign his ELC with the Flyers this summer. Although he had a very good freshman year, would he benefit from another year in the NCAA, or is he ready for the AHL or even the NHL?
Well, I'm always, you know, I don't know enough about Farabee to come on here and give you a real good view one way or the other, so I'm not going to make it up.
Mm-hmm.
I never have a big issue with a player who has not dominated at a level, staying at that level. You know, if a player has dominated at a level, and it's, you know, then it's time to move to the next level. So, you know, in this case, I'm sure that you know, the team, his representatives. I mean, these guys are eager to get there. And I think it's incumbent on the team if they think that a guy is not ready to not push him too fast. But apparently they do think that he's ready. And, you know, time will tell. But he's been someone that we've, you know, he's been a hot prospect and somebody that has been on the radar for a while now. So we will see if he comes out and how it impacts him. But like I say, I'm never against, you know, a guy if he hasn't dominated at that lower level playing another year and just giving him a chance to get better. But there's a lot of money to be made, and you know how it is now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The kids are eager to get there.
A bunch of huge games tonight, Wild and Predators. We talked about Nashville struggling in the Wild, trying to get into the postseason. Good job by us here at ESPN. The ESPN Plus game on the app is going to be Bruins Lightning. That should be a lot of fun.
That's a good one.
That's very good. And Golden Knights Blues is also very good.
Oh, yeah, that's a statement game kind of for the Lightning tonight. The last time they played Boston was tough, second of a back-to-back for them. They went into Boston with Louis Domingue, and Domingue kept them in the game, and the Bruins really ended up winning 4-1, but they had the better of the play. I think Tampa will, coming off a loss in St. Louis the other night, I think Tampa will be focused on trying to put their best foot forward tonight. This is a team they're likely going to play in the second round of the playoffs if all goes as planned. Mm-hmm. So it should be an interesting game, and they play one more time in the last game of the regular season. They play in Boston. So, you know, these are kind of ways to make a little bit of a statement, if you can, and make an impression on a team that you're likely going to meet in the postseason.
All right, EJ, next Monday we'll be in the final week of the regular season.
Yes.
So
yes.
Looking forward to that. Yes, as Marv would say, yes.
Yes.
And we'll get that much closer to what I think is a great time of year, the postseason.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be the first round. I mean, the only problem with the NHL playoffs is the first round is so good, you don't want to dent. You know?
Right.
The other rounds are good, but the first round is kind of crazy. And this year with some really good, you know, Vegas and the Sharks, it's a first-round matchup. Predators and Blues, first-round matchup most likely. Bruins and Leafs. And then in the Metro, I mean, you know, who the hell knows who's going to end up in that order. I think Washington's going to end up winning the division, although there's, you know, no guarantees. But it'll be interesting. I have no idea who's going to, I mean, really not even sure about that, who's going to end up 1-4. And that will impact things dramatically, right? Because if Washington and Pittsburgh play in the first round, that's a boon for everybody else in that division and that conference, because one of those two will get knocked right out and, you know, make the path maybe a little easier. So we'll see how it plays out. But you're right, there's a lot, 2 weeks left, and a lot still to be determined.
Yeah, there was a tweet I didn't get to, an Islander fan saying, are they better off winning the division or finishing in second and playing Pittsburgh in the first round? Well, that's a huge leap, thinking it's going to be Pittsburgh. Yeah. You don't know. I mean, they only have a two-point lead on Carolina. It could be Carolina. Or you could fool around and end up having home ice disadvantage in the first round. So, no, there's plenty of reasons to continue to win.
Yeah, I think for the Islanders, the best thing for the Islanders to do is to play one game at a time and try to win their games. I mean, because you know, they've had a great regular season, and just try to nail down that playoff spot.
That's it.
And, you know, I would guess that the only thing you could say is, like, you know, the best matchup might be Carolina. But, I mean, you know, Carolina's played well, too. So, I mean,
yeah, be careful.
Luck. I would say take Carolina just because Pittsburgh and Washington, we know what they're about, and they've had a lot. They've been through this. And, like, Carolina, it's a lot like when the Islanders played Florida a couple of years ago and beat them. You know, Florida did not have that playoff experience, and I think there is something to be said for that. So, you know, we'll see. But it's going to be hard no matter what. There's no easy outs in the postseason in the NHL.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the TV, and we'll talk to you next week.
I will. All right, my friend. See ya.
All right, that's the great EJ Raddick. Catch him on NHL Now on the NHL Network Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 Eastern Time. So a ton of great games tonight to go over. So we'll be back again tomorrow. This was the Monday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct Podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct Podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.